Wow, praise the Lord. That was fantastic. I think we need to work on like a little, I don't know, like a slow like movement up there. I felt like that would have worked perfectly for that song. Man, that was great. Praise the Lord. We're going to get to our scripture lesson here in a moment. I don't have any notes for it, which I know upsets you, Rich. I'm sorry. But I'm also switching up the scripture as well, so you're just all over the place this morning. But before I talk about that, I want to talk about this sermon series that we're starting today. Kenny and I talked a lot about it, and he's going to be doing most of it, but I have the privilege of starting us off this morning. But as Michael mentioned earlier, we're coming into the season of Lent in the church liturgical calendar. And if you are unfamiliar with the liturgical calendar, it's simply a calendar where we celebrate and remember the major events of the Christian faith, kind of plan them out around major holidays of the year and how we just focus on those particular areas. And so sometimes we follow it closely, sometimes we don't. When I was growing up, I didn't know anything about it. In fact, I didn't know anything about Lent. If you'd asked me what Lent was, I would have pointed you to the things between your toes or in your belly button. I knew nothing about Lent. One of the privileges, though, of going to new places and being around new people is you learn more things. And one of those things for me has been Lent. And it's the time when we fast from things. It's the time when we remember the call of Jesus to be disciples and what that call really is about. And part of what that is about is going through a period in life where we have to give up things. Jesus calls us to give up things. And you might notice when people go through Lent, they give up a lot of things. Some of them, maybe you have, maybe like me, maybe it's not something you've done a whole lot. So this sermon series is going to be focusing on giving up things. What do we need to give up? What is Jesus calling us to give up? And one of the verses, the key verses that we are going to think and focus on is from Mark. It's Mark 8, verse 35. And it simply says, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." Now, we're going to come back and focus on this each week in greater detail, but I want to go over a couple things. First is that we believe he's talking about way more than just giving up your physical life. The word life in this passage can also be translated soul. And there's a lot of things within our conscious and subconscious heart that produces our personality, kind of like what Cindy was talking about, where Jesus might be calling us to give up. We have all kinds of hidden motivations and desires within us that Jesus examines, looks at, and transforms for the gospel. And so we're going to be focusing on many of those here in the coming weeks. And this morning we're going to be focusing on giving up control, our desire to have control over our lives and to always be the ones in charge. And so, as I said, I switched up the passage. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 23 through 27. "And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, you of little faith?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, 'What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I remember as a teenager going to the Kings Island Amusement Park in Cincinnati. It may have been with some friends or church. I can't quite remember who I went with. But at this point in my life, I loved roller coasters. There's something about the speed and the thrill and the excitement. All of it made waiting that hour and a half for that two-minute ride worth it. Maybe some of you disagree, but for me, as a teenager especially, it's something I loved. Well, somehow at Kings Island, my friend John talked me into going on a roller coaster called the Son of Beast. Okay, now, it sounds fearsome, and it was. The Son of Beast, when it opened up, it was one of the largest and longest wooden roller coasters in the U.S. In fact, I think at the time, it may have changed now because it's been a while, but it was the only one that had a loop in it, a wooden roller coaster with a loop. That sounds kind of scary, right? It freaked me out, especially when I got in the cart. What do you call those things? The car, the roller coaster car. And I was expecting for the shoulder pads to come down. No, it was just up from the floor there. And I thought, oh man, what have I got myself into here? Don't you just love good friends talking you into doing things you might normally second guess? But by the time John and I got in this, got ready for the roller coaster and started going up the mountain, that's what it seemed like, the mountain, I began to feel a bit nervous, believe it or not, and I started having second thoughts, but at that point, you know, what are you going to do? So once we got about halfway to two-thirds up this roller coaster, John looks over and he says, "Paul, are you afraid of heights?" And I remember saying as the summit came closer and closer, "No." Well, only if I don't feel very secure or in control, at which point we both look down and look at each other and tug down on that bar a little bit tighter. Right before we went plunging over the side of this giant roller coaster. I imagine that's kind of what it felt like for these disciples as they had put out on the lake, feeling that slight breeze across their faces as Jesus retired to the back of the boat to take a nap after a day filled with teaching. Little did they realize that what was about to come up as they crossed over the familiar lake that they were in. Perhaps even the four experienced fishermen disciples didn't think much of it at the time. They weren't too scared of windstorms. They had been around the water before. They were okay with it as long as they felt secure. But as we read, the storm was obviously bad enough that these four fishermen and the other disciples began to feel a little panicked. Began to feel a little scared at what was going on and anything but in control. I imagine the ferocity of the storm inside them matched very well the ferocity of the storm outside them. And as they lacked control of the boat, I bet they also started to lose a little bit of control of the emotions they started feeling. The fear and anxiety going on within them. The more the boat filled up with water, perhaps the more they got filled up with those emotions. You know, being in control of things in our lives gives us this great sense of security and certainty and peace. And I think it's one of the things that we all need as people. We need that sense that everything is going to be okay, that we have some sort of security. And we need to recognize what's coming in order to feel okay. And a lot of us spend a lot of time and energy trying to maintain a certain sense of control in our lives. We spend a lot of energy trying to minimize the risk in order so that we can be in control of things, right? We save up money for that rainy day when we might need it. We choose to live in certain safer places rather than others. We don't talk about certain subjects that might really be important to our lives because they cause us pain. And sometimes we pull down on that roller coaster handlebar to make sure we're secure. Sometimes in life, however, you find yourself in the middle of a storm, and the truth comes finally rearing its ugly head. And the truth of the storms we so often face in this life is this: our ability to be in control of our own lives is much more limited than we think. It's much more limited than we think. And it's not true just in moments of crisis. However, the crisis usually reveals this truth to us. This is what happened. This is what the storm revealed to the disciples. And this is what's true for anybody that's had to sit in the hospital and watch a loved one go through some sort of terrible disease. It's the truth of parents who release their children out after they've learned how to drive, right? Lack of control. It's what's true for those of us that are on the road when those parents release those children out onto the road. It's the truth of anyone who has battled addiction or even a bad habit they seem to can't break. And I think it's true of someone battling anxiety as well. Our ability to be in control of our lives is a lot more limited than we realize. You know, after serving quite a bit with Room in the Inn so far this season, it's something that I've seen a lot with a lot of the stories and people that I get to meet in that program, that ministry. I've learned just how fragile life can be. I remember talking to a guy several weeks ago who... And I can't remember if he said the bus either missed the stop sign or he just forgot to look one time. And anyway, he stepped out and got hit by a bus. He lost his job because he couldn't work because he had to spend weeks and weeks in the hospital. He didn't have much money to start with, so he had to end up, when the hospital said, you got to go, wasn't sure where to go. His family wasn't here, and he just found himself in a situation that was beyond his control. And when the truth of our limits come hitting us right in the face, we often react in a few different ways. Sometimes we try that much more to grab onto as much control as we can. We become hyper-controlling and exert more and more effort to control things in order to try to ease the anxiety we feel. Or the other side of that is sometimes we just shut down when it's too much. We shut down when it's too much. And neither strategy is helpful, nor it gets at the heart of what we must confront within ourselves. How do you react in situations beyond your control? Or are you find yourself as a person, maybe someone might describe you as a person that always seems to have to be in control of the situation. For the disciples in the boat, the literal storm going on around them and the one within them revealed not just their lack of control, but their lack of faith as well. What could be easily missed in this passage is that this frightening, eye-opening event for the disciples actually turned into an act of grace for them after it was over. I love the imagery, don't you, of what's going on here? Of the disciples bailing water out the sides while Jesus is literally just asleep in the back of the boat. Can you imagine? I wonder in Mark's gospel, when they talk about this story, it almost seems like the question isn't so much out of fear, it's out of irritation. Like, Jesus, we're sitting here trying to bail water while you're asleep. Can you help us? But what we see here is that this storm is terrifying, and yet Jesus is asleep. And once he awakes, the storm reveals something much more at the heart of what's going on with the disciples. He says to them, why are you afraid? Or another way of translating that afraid word is, why are you so timid? Why are you so timid? Have you still no faith? And once he speaks that to them and they get to witness his power at work, suddenly their fear turns into awe. Why? And I think it's because just as much as the storm revealed their lack of control, it also revealed how Jesus' actions and words revealed their deep lack of faith. They had encountered someone who was so different than them, someone that was so, this event that was so incredible that they shrank back from it. They became timid when it came to the God who was in the boat with them. The grace of Jesus allows this event to become another piece in the mosaic of their faith growth because Jesus used it to point out a way in which they lacked. They lacked faith. We hang on to controlling situations because having control gives us a sense of power. And this is one of our responses to fear, to try to predict and control the world around us. And a lot of times I feel like we have trouble releasing our grip over things because we feel like we have a limited power over them. We think about all those examples I mentioned earlier. Parents who struggle to give their kids space as they get older because their power over them is changing. We hang on to feelings of guilt and shame over our past because we feel powerless to change what has happened. We struggle to make decisions we can't determine the outcome to because we feel powerless to know what's in our best interest. Are there things that you feel powerless over in your life? I don't know about you all, but I definitely have some that I struggle with. Do you find yourself unable to release them from your thoughts, your time, your energy? Do they keep you up at night? Did the best part of this passage to you, was it Jesus asleep? Because that's something maybe you've lacked for a long time. I think that is one thing at the heart of our desire to always be in control. We hesitate to offer Jesus control because letting go of our control means letting go of our power. And we aren't really sure that we can trust God with our lives and trust that Jesus truly does know better than we do. Maybe it's because in the past we've had experiences where we gave away our control, we gave away our power, our trust, and it came back and it burned us. Maybe it's because other times we've let it go and we just haven't known what to do. And so it seems so frightening. And yet Jesus here is inviting us to let go of our control. What in your life do you feel unable or unwilling to release to God because you're afraid? There's a story by an author that I love named Henry Nouwen, and he tells a story about meeting a famous trapeze troupe. And he writes about it in one of his books. He writes about the encounter to discuss death, but I think it offers us something as well. And here's what he says. He says, "One day I was sitting with Rodley, the leader of the troupe, in his caravan, talking about flying. He said, 'As a flyer, I must have complete trust in my catcher. The public might think that I am the great star of the trapeze, but the real star is Joe, my catcher. He has to be there for me with split-second precision and grab me out of the air as I come to him in the long jump.' 'Well, how does it work?' I asked. 'The secret,' Rodley said, 'is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. When I fly to Joe, I simply have to stretch out my arms and hands and wait for him to catch me and pull me safely over the apron behind the catch bar.' 'You do nothing?' I said, surprised. 'Nothing,' Rodley repeated. 'The worst thing the flyer can do is to try to catch the catcher. I'm not supposed to catch Joe. It's Joe's task to catch me. If I grab Joe's wrists, I might break them, or he might break mine, and that would be the end for both of us. A flyer must fly, and a catcher must catch. The flyer must trust with outstretched arms that his catcher will be there for him.' While there is so much we cannot control in this life, we do have some control. And the one thing I believe this passage is compelling us to consider is that we do have the power to choose when and where and who to give our sense of control to. And when we choose to give our control to something like a roller coaster car or a person like Jesus, we are, in a way, granting ourselves a sense of control. Like the disciples in the boat, we are saying in moments of fear and anxiety and tough decisions that reveal our powerlessness that we, in fact, do have one power yet to play, one bit of control no matter what, and that is to give our control and our trust to Jesus, to trust that, in fact, there is a force in the world that is greater than ourselves and greater than the chaos that we are currently going through, to outstretch our arms and wait for him to catch us. Because to me, what this passage and what so many others whisper to us is an answer to one of the greatest questions of life we all struggle with. And that is, what are the deepest forces in the universe at play? Are they forces of chaos and storms and things that want to tear us apart? Or are the deepest forces in the universe that of love and relationship? When what the Bible gives us an answer to is that those things are love. That the deepest, richest force in the universe is the love of God that travels our path with us wherever we go, into the storm, and simply must be woken up when we choose to give our control and our power over to Jesus. The disciples leave this encounter in awe because they realize that perhaps the answer is a love that even the wind and the seas obey. And it's not just this encounter with Jesus that leaves them in awe or dumbfounded at God's power in powerless situations, but they were left in awe again when Jesus found himself having to stretch out his arms and let go of his control and trust that God was in control and at work even in the worst storm of his life. And that was giving his life over to God on the cross, giving his life over to evil on the cross. It was into that chaos and that evil and that suffering that Jesus gave up his control, his power, and he completely trusted that God was at work even in the midst of this dark situation. He prayed, "Not what I want, but what you want, God." And he believed that the power of love and grace and truth broke through the storm of evil and sin once and for all through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and it's why we're here today. The biblical authors are convinced that Jesus gave up his control and faced the greatest storm so that we can rest assured that whatever we walk into, Jesus is walking there with us. And that even when we don't have control, it's okay, because he does. Let us pray. God, there's so many things that we walk into in this life where we just feel powerless over it. God, maybe there's things in our past that we can't change that just keep us up at night. Lord, maybe there are situations that we face right now that just seem beyond us. Lord, maybe we just believe so strongly that we want to be in control of our lives. We don't want to give you control. We don't want you to have a say. But Lord, remind us. Remind us through this story and through the great story that the greatest force in the universe is your love for us. And that when we face situations where we just want to wrestle control from you, where we just want to have control of our own lives, that Lord, you are there, and that all we must do is stretch out to you and trust that you'll be there to catch us. God, we thank you for how you love us, for how you gave your life on the cross for us, how you entered into the greatest storm of all so that we can find you in whatever situation we're going into. Give us a sense of control as we give our control over to you and trust that you, God, love us and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare to sing this one last time, I really haven't been able to get the words of rebuke that Jesus gives to the wind and the waves in Mark's gospel out of my mind when he says, "Peace, be still." I feel like he was saying those words not just to the wind and the waves, but to the disciples as well. And I feel like it's something that we need to remember when we go through those times as well. Peace, be still. It reminds me of Psalm 46, which is your homework this week, to read through Psalm 46, especially verses 1 and 3 and verse 10. Verse 10 you'll know very well. It's one that we say a lot. So as we pray, as we get together to worship this last time, I just want to ask, what are you struggling with? What is something that you are wrestling with to have control over that maybe is something that God might be wanting for you to let go of? And I encourage you in this time to worship the Lord with that in mind, or to maybe come down here and pray at the altar, pray with me, or pray with someone that you know and love in this church, who is someone that you can share control with, trusting that God is working within you. Let's worship the Lord.